We'd like to get the meeting back to order. Good morning, Mr. Yannity. How are you?
Not too bad. Morning, sir.
We are now moving into agenda item 3, which is our director's report. Director Susewind.
Carpenter, I'm going to make this fairly short and rapid fire because I want to save some time to have Larry Phillips talk to you about Region 6. When we move these commission meetings around to the regions, we always like to get the regional director to give you a little bit of the spice from the region, but we'll hit a few things before. We have upcoming regional awards, where we do regional award ceremonies for our staff. That'll be happening the second and third week in July. I mention it here because we'll make sure you're aware of those. So if we're in an area near you, you might have the opportunity to participate if you'd like. We'll also be doing editorial boards in each of the regions and digital open houses to continue our efforts to use that media tool to get out to more people. We have I want to make sure you know we have a House Agricultural Natural Resources Committee tour in Wolf Country in the Northeast for July 8th. You'd all be welcome to attend that as well. That's the first place most of our stuff goes through at the legislature, and we want to make sure they have a real understanding of what happens on the ground. So right now it's July 8th. That date keeps getting bounced around a bit, but I think it's solid. I also want to talk a little bit about staff changes. We mentioned before about some moves I've made, particularly through the director's office with Amy, who will be here for part of the next thing as a new deputy, a new fish policy director, and a conservation director. Those all become effective Monday, the 17th, actually 16th on paper, but Monday will be the first official work day with that. I was directed, asked, pleaded with to just stop there and not say anything about Joe, who this is his last commission meeting, so I'm failing miserably in that. I think it'd be totally inappropriate for us to move on without recognizing Joe's 12 years of service as a deputy, great level of service, serving both the agency and this commission. So my own personal thank you to Joe, and I'm sorry for not listening to your request.
Thank you, Joe.
We still know how to get hold of you.
Oh yeah, he's not going far. He's an AD now, and he's right down the hall, easy to grasp. So just let me know if you need him. Pinnipeds, I wanted to let you know that we did submit our application for the Part 120 permit. This is take advantage of the new federal legislation to allow us to remove both California and Stellar sea lions on the Columbia. Was asked specifically to talk about our status on the cougar effort. We talked before about addressing our cougar management, hunting, recreational hunting opportunities specifically. We've had a couple of internal meetings on that. Are putting together some options. We'll be coming back through the commission. We intend to work it primarily through the Wildlife Committee. We will be assembling an external advisory group to make sure that we have a good transparent process with lots of diverse input, and we expect to be back. We'll have probably in August be meeting with the Wildlife Committee with some options. We'll look at options for seasons. We'll compare to how we're managing compared to surrounding states, etc. So I just want to make sure you know that is in process. I'll make sure to get out an actual written, here's a time frame for you so you know exactly when and where we're looking for your help and input. Ultimately, with our attempt is to get to CR 101, so our notice of rulemaking in December, and hopefully have a proposed rule out in January. That gets us ahead of the curve to get it next year's hunting pamphlet. You all received also a petition from BIAW, Building Industries Association of Washington, to do rulemaking. Basically, I bring this up because they petitioned me directly, and the following day you. I want to let you know that I intend to manage that, so I don't think you need to respond need to pay attention to it, obviously, and make sure I'm going the right direction, but you don't think you have to get involved otherwise. So this was basically around our HPA authority, where we got a bill giving us extended authority, civil authority for our HPAs. Through a complicated process, part of that bill had language that a lot of folks didn't like. That also, that section unfortunately also had our maximum penalties in it. There was a poison pill of sorts built into another part of the bill that if the part they didn't like went away, so did our $10,000 penalty. Governor ended up vetoing both of those sections. There's some questions around the legality of that. We think he's perfectly within his constitutional right. They were trying to basically circumvent his authority to do vetoes. That's all hung up in there. But basically, BIAW would like us to do an emergency rule removing any civil authority for us to take action, which we don't believe is what the bill says at all. So my intent is to respond to that petition for emergency rulemaking. That response will likely be a denial to do that rulemaking. But we will give a directive to staff not to be issuing any civil penalties until we go through the formal rulemaking to establish a matrix to define those penalties. There will be a good public process on this. We agree that we don't have what we need in place right now. We disagree with the idea that this strips of the civil authority that the bill was intended to provide. If you'd like to be involved, let me know. Otherwise, my response to that petition, I think, will meet the needs for both the petition to the agency and to the commission. And I think with that, I said I'd be short. That's longer than I already intended to go. I will turn it over to Larry Phillips. You all know Larry. Larry is our Region 6 Regional Director, and he's going to walk you through some of the good stuff we got going on in this region.
Good morning. So I've been in the position about 2.5 years. I know I've got to know some of the commissioners pretty well on a lot of different issues, so I appreciate that. I guess I can characterize the job as not boring. Region 6, as many of you know, very diverse coastal rainforest, Cascade Mountains.
You okay, Tammy? Is it doing mic up?
I don't usually get accused of not talking all the time. Too much.
Is that better?
Yeah.
All right. So just Region 6, diverse habitat types, coastal rainforest, Cascade Mountains, South Surround Prairies. We have 8 counties. We have 14 co-managers. We've got about 1.2 million people, large industrial timber presence, shellfish industries, very large, 2 national parks, and all the challenges that come with that. But I think we're doing a pretty good job. We're always learning, and we've got amazing staff and great partners, so something we're pretty proud of. So I just, when Kelly and I talked about this, we talked about just some of the high-level things that I wanted to share with you and some of the things that staff are doing. The one thing that just jumps out right off the bat to me is the great work we do with razor clams. A little bit of a challenge in 2018-19 to relative to recent seasons, but for the most part, we had an amazing year for razor clams. It's a challenge for staff, right? It's about available clams. It's about monitoring the fishery. It's about developing a schedule that gets us to the finish line. And the finish line is our springtime digs. Obviously, we don't want to over-harvest. We don't want to jeopardize our opportunities in the future. But Dan Ayers and his crew do a phenomenal job. 2018-19, opportunities for most beaches exceeded what we have seen in recent 10-year averages, with the exception of Long Beach. I think we all probably heard about Long Beach. There was some challenges with what we believe are high freshwater content that resulted in some low recruitment and some challenges there. So we were limited to 4 digs in the Long Beach area. But overall, we had about 3.7 million clams were harvested on 272,000 digger days. Average number of clams harvested per digger was about 13.7. So the opportunities that we were offering resulted in folks nearly getting their limit on most digs, which is pretty exciting. I think that's a really good testament to Dan and his crew. But the big deal is it's $24 million is the estimate to local economies on the coast. At a time, middle of winter, when there's not a lot going on out there. So just you know, really, I think that's something that the agency should be proud of, and especially Dan and his crew. 2019-20 seasons are looking pretty good. We got some stock assessment work that's being done right now. Long Beach looks good. That's a pretty big deal. We had the most, Dan shared this with me just the other day. We had the highest participation ever in razor clam digging during the Razor Clam Festival this year at Long Beach. We also have Beaches to the North open, but there was 20 plus thousand diggers in one day on the Washington coast. So, yeah, pretty exciting there. Halibut fishery is still going on. Quota this year, we had about 19% increase in total allowable catch over the recent three-year averages. That was based on the stock assessment done through the Pacific Halibut Commission. We've still got quota remaining, which that's pretty exciting. It's in June. We had some challenges early in the season because of weather, but most of the calls we're getting to the regional office and that I've heard from folks is that they're pretty happy with the outcome so far. You know, obviously catch has been down a little bit in the Straits, and but we're going to have an opportunity that's pretty unique here. Next weekend, we're going to have an opportunity to salmon fish and halibut at the same time. We have our salmon open on the 22nd, so some, I know folks are, the industry is pretty excited. I know the guides are pretty booked up from the folks I'm speaking with. Yeah, and the salmon season obviously is a mixed bag this year, but I talked to the Iwako Charter Association last weekend and also the Westport Charter Association, and they're seeing an increase in booked trips. So, you know, mixed bag again. That's looking good for the coast for our coho forecast. Strait of Juan de Fuca and some of the other places are obviously going to experience some challenges with reduced seasons there. And our lands department, Region 6 has been very successful. Our staff have done an excellent job of securing both state and federal funds for acquisitions, for conservation projects, for restoration efforts, for improvements in some of our accesses. I believe we've got somewhere between 18 and 20 projects in the works right now, and I know some of the commissioners are aware of those projects. One that I'm pretty excited about is our Grayland project. I know Director is going to come out on our, we've got our awards ceremony, I think, for Region 6 on the 15th, and we're going to do a ribbon cutting in the afternoon with Ducks Unlimited and some of the local elected officials. So pretty excited about that. 1,700 acres right next to the state park, the Grayland property, lots of habitat restoration opportunities there, forest, about 1,000 acres of wetland, amazing waterfowl hunting. So I think people are pretty excited about that. So looking forward to celebrating that. NEMA Tidelands, this is a project, and you might remember it through our 2020 discussions, ranked really high. We have a large, WDFW owns a large portion of Tidelands in Willapa Bay that's landlocked, essentially. So this property came available. This is another Dan and his crew, Zach, identified that as an opportunity, and we're able to secure, did a great job of presenting to the RCO, and we were able to secure funds for that. So that's another project that's going to be moving forward. CQ boat ramp. I know Commissioner Carpenter reached out to me a couple years ago, and we were able to get that on the 2020 and then subsequently apply for funds under the RCO boater access program. Ranked, I believe, number 6 out of about 15 projects. So it's looking really good. We'll start moving forward with the appraisal. Brandon Mason at the resort there has been great to work with. I think that's it's important to notice to mention that it probably would have been easy to sell that property. Brandon's intention is to make sure that that public access is secure long term for the people of the state. Lots of history there. Again, we're really excited about that as permanent opportunity. That's without that, you'd have a pretty large section of Marine Area 4 and 5 that would be difficult to access. So looking forward to that. Boston Harbor in Olympia, probably one of the most popular access areas we have within the Thurston Pierce County area, in pretty bad shape. Turns out the county owns the boat ramp and we own the parking lot, so we're able to negotiate a maintenance agreement that will share the cost with that. We secured RCO funds to improve the whole project, and the county's been a great partner to work with on that one, so looking forward to that. And then from we're continuing to work with co-managers on our co-manager hunting agreements. These are opportunities for us to approach industrial timber. We've got three agreements in place right now. We'll have our annual meetings that is part of that agreement. But this is our meeting with the Squaxin tribe, Skokomish tribe, and Quileute tribe are coming up. And not to say that we don't have a great relationship with the other tribes as well, because we do, but this is just an opportunity for us to agree to meet annually, share our harvest information, work on access, and continue to work jointly together on ways to best manage our hunting opportunities. A big part of my job and my staff's job is to continue to work with Industrial Timber on access. We've got a couple of programs that we've worked out with Hancock and with Green Diamond that we're working on right now. A lot of work to do, but again, this is one of those programs that staff on the ground make it a success. Scott Harris and Brian Calkins and our crew that are out working hand in hand with their staff on the ground on cleanup, on abandoned cars, on enforcement as well, that do a really good job of working and make sure we're maintaining a commitment, because there's a cost. There's a real cost associated with hunting access on industrial timberland that we want to make sure we're being as good of partners as we can with those folks. And I think we got a lot of work to do, but I think we're heading in the right direction. And, you know, we'll see where it ends up. Obviously, there's a lot of pressure, I think, on some of these companies to think about their all sources of revenue. But well, I think that's
good report.
That's pretty much well.
Good
I appreciate
report.
That.
Any questions or comments from the front table? It was such a good report. Nobody has any questions, Larry.
That's one interpretation.
That was all the good stuff. That was all the good stuff you told us. You didn't bring up any.
I know. There's a few in there. I just figured they'd come up.
No, we'll get you next time on that.
All right.
Thank you very, very much for coming.